DIAP, Episode 3, Scripts, Studios, and the Regulatory Window. This is Episode 3. If you've listened to the first two, you know the protocol. Two-layer consent, license tokens, render receipts, how AI systems integrate. This episode covers three things that haven't been discussed yet. First, the script module, how DIAP protects writers, not just faces and voices. Second, the business case for studios, why they'd actually adopt this voluntarily. And third, the regulatory and guild landscape that makes right now the window to build this. Part 1, the script module, protecting writers. Most of the conversation around AI and identity focuses on likeness, faces, voices, motion capture. That makes sense. The visuals are dramatic. You can see a deepfake. But there's an equally urgent problem that gets less attention: what's happening to scripts. AI systems are ingesting screenplays, treatments, pilot scripts, and pitch documents. They're being used to generate summaries, produce alternate dialogue, create derivative scenes, and, most critically, to train models. A studio sends a script through an AI tool to generate coverage, and that tool's provider now has that script in its training pipeline. The writer never consented. The guild contract might say something about it. But same problem as with faces, the technology doesn't care about contracts. DIAP's script module extends the exact same consent architecture to written work. It treats a script as a first-class protected asset, the same way the core protocol treats a face scan or a voice recording. Here's how it works. A writer or their representative registers a script with DIAP. They don't upload the actual text. Instead, DIAP stores a content commitment, a cryptographic hash of the canonicalized script. Think of it like a fingerprint. DIAP can verify the script's integrity without ever holding the script itself. This follows the same math, not data principle as the identity modules. Once registered, the script gets two layers of consent. Layer 1 is script visibility authorization. Can this script be seen by AI systems at all? Is it visible for indexing, for search, for processing? If layer 1 is off, the script is invisible. Period. Layer 2 is script usage authorization for a specific project, which rights are granted, and this is where it gets precise. The script module defines 4 rights. Script read allows an AI system to ingest and process the script for non-creative operations: formatting, spell check, indexing, basic utility. Script derivative. Generation allows the AI to produce outputs that use the script as context: scene breakdowns, localization drafts, alternate lines, creative adjacent work. Script export allows the full script content to leave the vault boundary, which is heavily restricted. And then there's script training use. Script training use is the hard gate. This is the right to use a script's content for training, fine-tuning, or embedding generation intended for reuse beyond the immediate project. This right must be explicitly granted. It is never implied. Even if a studio has full derivative generation rights for a specific project, that does not mean the script can be used to train a model. Training is a separate, deliberate consent decision. This matters enormously for writers. The WGA fought hard in 2023 for protections around AI and literary material. They got contract language. But just like with actors' faces, the gap is enforcement. A studio can send a script through an AI pipeline that feeds into a training set, and there's no technical mechanism to prevent it. The script module is that mechanism. Every operation on a registered script produces an authorship receipt, the script-side equivalent of a render receipt. It logs what was done, which AI model was used, what the output was, and ties it back to the original authorization. The writer sees it all, their agent sees it all. The guild can audit it, and the kill switch applies to scripts too. A writer can revoke all AI access to their registered works across every platform in the world, instantly. Same principle as the identity kill switch: it never gets delegated, it stays with the author. What makes the script module elegant is that it doesn't require DIAP to build a separate system. It uses the same token model, the same receipt model, the same two-layer consent, the same API patterns. A studio that's already integrated DIAP for identity consent is 90% of the way to script consent. The script module is an addendum, not a rebuild. Part 2, the business case for studios. Here's the question I get from everyone outside the creative community. Why would studios adopt this? They have the power, they have the data. Why would they voluntarily submit to a consent protocol? The answer is that studios are facing three forces simultaneously, and all three push toward adoption. Force 1, legal liability. The lawsuits are already happening. AI-generated content that uses someone's likeness without clear authorization is a legal minefield. Every major studio has a legal department that's terrified of exposure. Right now, compliance means navigating a patchwork of contract clauses, state laws, guild agreements, and international regulations, all with different definitions of consent. DIAP gives studios a single, auditable compliance path. Request a token, render, submit a receipt. If you follow the protocol, you have a documented chain of authorization. That's not just convenient, it's a legal shield. Force 2, guild negotiations. The DGA's contract with the AMPTP is up for renegotiation. Those talks begin in May 2026. SAG-AFTRA is continuing to push for stronger digital likeness protections. The WGA is watching what happens with script-related AI provisions. Every one of these negotiations is going to center on enforcement, not just what the contract says, but how it's enforced. Studios that can demonstrate they're using a technical enforcement layer, not just honoring contract language, have a fundamentally stronger position at the bargaining table. They can say, "We don't just promise consent, we prove it. Here's the audit trail." Force 3, market credibility. This one is underappreciated. As AI becomes central to production, the studios and platforms that can demonstrate responsible use of identity data will have a competitive advantage. Talent wants to work with studios they trust. Agencies will steer their clients toward productions that have DIAP certification. Distributors, streaming platforms, international buyers will prefer content with clean provenance. The same way audiences now expect content to have proper credits and clearances, the market will eventually expect AI-generated content to have verifiable consent. Studios that adopt DIAP early aren't just mitigating risk, they're building reputation. Now let's talk about what adoption actually looks like for a studio. This is not a rip and replace. Studios don't have to throw out their existing tools or pipelines. They integrate DIAP alongside what they already have. A typical integration starts with their production management software, tools like ShotGrid or FTrack. These are the systems that track which assets are in production, which shots are in progress, who's working on what. A DIAP plugin for these tools adds a consent verification step at the asset level. When a VFX supervisor opens a shot that involves a digital likeness, the system checks with DIAP before allowing work to begin. If the token is valid, work proceeds. If not, the system flags it. The rendering pipeline gets the same treatment. Whether it's a cloud-based render farm or an internal GPU cluster, the pipeline calls DIAP before processing identity-linked data. One API call at the start, one receipt at the end. The actual rendering is untouched. The studio's compliance team gets a dashboard. It shows every active license token, every pending request, every submitted receipt. They can see in real time which projects are authorized and which have gaps. This replaces the current process, which is usually some combination of spreadsheets, emails, and phone calls to business affairs. The total integration effort for a well-resourced VFX studio is measured in weeks, not months. The SDK handles the complexity, the APIs are REST-based, the data model is straightforward, and because DIAP handles the consent logic, the studio's engineering team doesn't have to build or maintain any of that infrastructure themselves. Now here's the pricing angle that seals it. DIAP charges studios an annual platform access fee plus usage-based billing. The annual fee covers certification, compliance verification, and baseline API capacity. Usage-based billing covers license token requests, render receipts, and API calls. Small indie studios with low volume pay very little. Major studios with massive pipelines pay more, but it scales with usage, not with talent compensation. DIAP never takes a percentage of talent pay. That's a deliberate design decision. If DIAP took a cut of compensation, every business affairs department in Hollywood would see it as a cost center that inflates labor costs. Instead, DIAP is priced like infrastructure, like a cloud service, like a compliance tool. It's a line item in the technology budget, not the talent budget. That distinction matters when you're pitching to a CFO. Part 3, the regulatory window timing matters, and the timing right now is extraordinary. In the United States, multiple states have passed or are considering laws around AI-generated likenesses. Tennessee's Elvis Act was the first. It explicitly covers vocal likenesses and AI-generated reproductions. California has proposed similar legislation. New York is moving on it. But these laws vary in scope, definition, and enforcement mechanism. There's no federal standard. Studios operating across multiple states are dealing with a compliance patchwork that's only getting more complex. DIAP doesn't replace these laws, it operationalizes them. A state law says get consent before using someone's AI-generated likeness. DIAP is the technical mechanism that proves consent was obtained, documented, and auditable. It turns legal requirements into checkboxes that are already checked because the protocol enforced them. In the European Union, the AI Act has specific provisions around synthetic content. It requires that AI-generated content be labeled, that provenance be traceable, and that individuals have rights over their biometric data used in AI systems. DIAP's watermark verification, render receipt system, and consent model align directly with these requirements. A studio using DIAP for European distribution has a built-in compliance framework for the AI Act. And then there are the guild negotiations. This is the immediate catalyst. The Directors Guild of America's contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers expires in 2026. Negotiations begin May 11th. Christopher Nolan, as DGA president, chairs the AI committee. The DGA's 2023 contract already includes provisions requiring studios to consult directors before using AI on creative elements. The 2026 negotiations will push further toward concrete, enforceable mechanisms. SAG-AFTRA's 2023 agreement included digital likeness protections, but enforcement remains contract-based. The next round will demand technical enforcement. Not just a promise to respect consent, but a demonstrable system that prevents unauthorized use. The WGA's 2023 agreement addressed AI and literary material, establishing that AI-generated content can't be credited as source material and that writers have the right to use AI tools if they choose. But the training question, whether AI companies can use scripts as training data, remains open. The script module addresses this directly. Here's why this all converges. When the DGA sits down with the AMPTP in May, they can point to DIAP and say, this is what enforcement looks like, not a contract clause, not a promise, a protocol, a token system, an audit trail, a kill switch. Working infrastructure that the studio can integrate in weeks, and that gives every director, every actor, every writer real-time visibility into how their work and their identity are being used. And the studios can point to DIAP and say, we're not resisting this. We've adopted a consent layer. We have documented compliance. We can show you every authorization, every render receipt, every heartbeat. Let's negotiate from a position of demonstrated good faith. That's the regulatory window. The laws are forming. The guild contracts are being negotiated. The technology is mature enough to build this, and the industry is paying attention. DIAP doesn't require legislation to work. It doesn't require a guild mandate. It works because it's good infrastructure that solves a real problem for everyone in the ecosystem. But the regulatory and guild landscape creates urgency. It creates a moment where adoption isn't just smart, it's inevitable. The question is whether that infrastructure exists when the moment arrives. That's what we're building. That's episode 3. Scripts, studios, and the window. The protocol is ready. The timing is now.